Okay, Parshas Tazria Mitzera. Okay, let me try to share with you a few ideas. Let's start with the beginning of the Parsha. Da'abir al-bnei Yisholema isha ki Tazria, a woman conceives, the yolida zohar, she gives birth to a male, the tama'ah, how many days is she tamea leida? 7 days, shivas yamim. Kimei nidas devaisot itma, just like the nida is tamea for 7 days, so to a woman who gives birth is tamea for 7 days. Uvayem ashmini, yimol besar or losa. First question, what in the world is this pasuk doing here in Parashas Tazria? Bris mila. Parashas Tazria is about korbanos, zohar, nikeva, we have tsaras. Bris mila we have in the Chumash Bereishis, maybe we'll have in other places where we're describing general mitzvahs. If you want to tell him about bris mila, so teach me also about chinuch haban, we have a zohar. You have to enroll, pay tuition. You have to enroll the child in a good preschool, playgroups, and vishinantam levonecha. Pinyin haben, 30 days, right? 30 days later, you have to pinyin haben if it's a bechor. Why is the parsha of bris mila thrown into seemingly an area that doesn't belong? We're dealing with tumas leida. What? How many korbanos does she have to bring? Achatas, an oila. Why is it here? That's a very, very basic question. Okay, that we'll get to in a second. Then it goes on to continue. So she's tamei for 7 days, and then she has tar for 30 to shloishim yom, shloishim yom teishel al bidvei tohara. Fine. Then it goes on to a nikeva, vim nikeva selet. So how many days is a woman tamei later for her giving birth to a female? 14 days, double. Wow, 14 days. And how many days does she have tahara? For 66 days. Now, generally speaking, there's a general idea, a general concept, that the more potential for Kedusha brings Tumah. There's a relationship between Tumah and Tahara. Zeh l'uma zeh bara Elokim. For example, a doimim, stone, is not makabel Tumah. Earth is not anything that is void of any life, of any potential for Kedusha, there's no potential for Tumah. When you're dealing with living creatures, let's jump about dealing with an animal. An animal can be a carbon, this life. So then, if the animal dies without Shechita, there's Tumah, Tumas Nevela. You see that because an animal has his life, there's some degree of sanctity that you, something you can use this Kedusha in life. A human being, the ultimate form of sanctity, the ultimate potential, not only if a person dies is there a very severe form of tumah where it's metama for 7 days. Tumas meis is the most extreme form of tumah. Aviyah v'isah tumah, person's tummy for 7 days. Tumas oil, someone comes in contact with it, and not a person can become tummy even when he is alive. An animal cannot become tummy when it is alive. Animal can only be metame when it's dead. A human being can become tummy even when it's alive. Why? Because since a human being has potential, greater potential for kedusha, memela, when there is greater potential for a tumah. An absence of kedusha brings tumah. There's a general idea. The more potential there is for kedusha, the absence of that kedusha brings a greater degree of tumah. That's a
only when a person is dead, and there is the highest level of tumas meis.
Yes.
It's only when a person is living, therefore there's no mitzvahs, there's no nothing. That
why? Because this body came from a human being which had the ultimate kedusha.
But there's no kedusha. Can they coexist at the same time? You mentioned tumas meis.
Yes and no. Yes and no. But generally speaking, why is that we find by a human being there is the highest level of Kedusha? Because you're dealing with a body, a human being. That body had the highest potential for Kedusha when it was alive. And now that the neshama has departed, gone to the next world, so the void is what brings the greatest level of tumah. Okay, there's a general idea that the more potential there is for Kedusha, the more potential there is for tumah. So now the question is as follows. Generally speaking, I don't get into trouble by saying certain things, but you'll forgive me. And anyway, at the end, it'll come out just the opposite. Who has more potential for Kedusha, a man or a woman?
Hello?
A man. A man has, is mitzvah v'yoysa, a man is chayv and tayag mitzvahs, a woman is part of mitzvah seh she'azman grama. A man has more potential for Kedusha than a woman. That l'chora is pashut.
So why is the tumah left?
So then you would expect, if that's the case, if a woman gives birth to a male who has a greater level of sanctity, greater potential for kedusha, and now the birth, obviously birth involves some process of the malach was teaching the male Torah, a man is mitzvah to learn Torah, a woman is not mitzvah to learn Torah, not at least to the same degree as a man. You would expect, if there has to be a difference of tumah for a man and a woman, more tumah should be given to a male than a female. Because generally speaking, let's put together these two rules. Rule number one, the more potential for kedusha, the more potential for tumah. Number two, a man, generally speaking, has more potential for kedusha. He is mitzvah in every single mitzvah. Men take the leadership role in this world, generally speaking, in the olam of kedusha. Women are part from mitzvah shazman grama. They don't have the same obligations. So l'chara, there's a lesser potential for kedusha. Therefore, when the woman gives birth and tumah comes into the world, for whatever reason, we would expect there to be more tumah by a male than by a female. Yet it says here the double dosage of tumah by a female than by a male. Yes?
Same exact thing. Saras.
Same exact thing. No difference whatsoever. Exactly. So why is it then that's part of our question. Why is it here in this particular halacha, when a woman gives birth, she gives birth to a male, to a female, why is the Torah giving a double dosha of tumah for a female than to a male? We would expect, according to the basic simple rules, the male has more potential for kedusha. So now when there is tumah, there should be a greater dosha of tumah for a male. So
the tumah is not on the male child. The tumah is on a woman.
The tumah is on the woman, but the woman was in the process of bringing forth into this world a male. Lachar, let's say she was a host. Her womb was a base medrash for a zachar for 9 months. So she was hosting a male. Now that male has departed, kedusha has left her. When kedusha leaves, tumah comes in its place. The more kedusha that was there, the more tumah should come in its place. A woman that was hosting a female, so he was a base medrash for a female. There's less kedusha l'chayra. Okay, I'm getting in trouble for saying this, but there's less kedusha for the female. So when the female exits, so that base medrash, the kedusha is missing. What takes place is the ktumah. So there should be less tumah relative to a male. Yet we find it to be the opposite. How do we make sense of this halach? Okay, so now to answer these questions, these two questions, bris milah and this difference between tumah of a male and a female, I want to go back to the beginning of the parash. But in the parash talks about Isha ki sazria. And there's a famous chazal. Chazal tell us that what determines if a child is a male or a female. This is a chazal, and it's been studied scientifically, and I'm sure there's a lot of Torah on this. Isha mazras techila yolede zachar. Everyone knows chazal ish. If a man is mazria techila, it's an akeva. There's such a thing. It's not clear. It's scientifically there are different ways to explain this, and there is definitely truth to it, and just a matter of how we understand this, but. We all are very well aware that a man is mazria, a man produces zera, and to a certain degree a woman also participates in this process. What exactly that means? Is it a matter of emotion? Is it a matter of hergish? Is it a matter of something physical which takes place at an earlier state of time, a later point in time, over 30 days, or at the time that she is in contact with the male? There are many opinions, but there is a chazal. We don't have to get into the science. There is a chazal. If the isha is the one who initiates, whatever that means, scientifically, then the mitzvah says there will be a zohar, a male will be born. If it is the ish that initiates this process of leda, whatever that means scientifically, then it will be that the child will be a female. That is a chazal. And that's a chazal that is brought out in this pasuk. Isha ki sazria. Do you know why now she's giving birth to a zachar? The pasuk goes on to say the old zachar. It's because she was the one that initiated the process of conception. Isha ki sazria. That is why the yolida zachar. She has been successful in producing a male and not a female. Because if it was the male, the ish, that was the one who initiated this process, then it would have resulted in there being a female. Okay.
By a cave
in nikeva seleit. All it says nikeva seleit.
Passage.
She gives birth nikeva. That's continuation.
That's where Chazal.
The Iker Chazal is Kisazriya. She was Mazriya, initiated the process of conception. Mela, that's why it's the Yolda Zocha. Farsh Misakasha of Moshe Bik, Zechat Sarak Levracha, when his Sefer, they put out, I mentioned this Sefer a number of times, he asked a very simple question. What Chazal, they're a biology book? They're making the Torah into a biology book. There's no question. We have a Munas Chacham. Everything in the Metzias can be found in the Torah. Torah is a blueprint for creation. But Torah, generally speaking, is instructions, moral laws. It's halacha, it's mitzvos, and there are divrei musar. When Chazal teach us something, they're not focusing on teaching us science. You can learn science from Chazal, that's a given. But that's not the focus. That's not the primary lesson that Chazal are trying to tell us. So what are they telling us over here? Isha, Kisazria, guess what? Abayisai, come take biology, an advanced course in biology will tell you a secret. If the Isha initiates the process of conception, the male is going to be a Zohar. Very nice. Is that something you would expect Chazal to teach you? You will figure that out on your own by learning, whatever you learn, you'll figure it out. But it's not what's going on here. So the answer is Rav Moshe Bik. So he explains, he used that to explain the second question of why is it that a male there are 14 days, or there are 7 days of Tumah, and a female there are 14 days. It's not the Pshat, the Tumah is not because of the child that was born. The Tumah comes from the Shoresh, the source. If a Zohar is born, who gets the credit?
Female.
The female. If a female is born, what does that mean according to Chazal? It means the one that initiated the process of conception was the Zohar, was the father, the male. So a female's Shoresh, a female's root, source, is in a male, a Zohar. Mimela, that is why the Tumah for a female is double. Because the Koyach HaYetzirah of this child is rooted, is credited to a male, a Zohar. And a Zohar has indeed more potential for Kedusha. And therefore, when there has to come a point in time where there is Tumah, for whatever reason there is Tumah, there's going to be, relative to a female, there's going to be more Tumah. So it's just the opposite. It makes perfectly sense. That's what Chazal are teaching us. They're not teaching us a scientific. They're coming to explain to us, this is something which is very disturbing. Why is it that for a Zohar there are 14, there are 7 days, and a female there are 14 days? It should be just the opposite. The answer is, don't look at the child, the human being that has resulted the result. Look at the Siba, the cause. Who is the one that brought this human being into this world? It was a Zohar. And a Zohar, there is a mixture of Kedusha and Tumah. That's not a topic of our discussion. The Torah says there has to be Tumah. For whatever reason, that's not the topic of discussion. But being that this Tumah is rooted in the Koyach of a Zohar, relative to a female, to a male child whose koach is rooted in a female, that's why a female there are 14 days and a male there are 7 days. Is that clear? Okay. Now let's go a step further. Now this is where it gets exciting. Okay. This is where it gets exciting. I ask you the first question: Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Arlosa. What in the world is the parasha of Bris Mila doing in Parshas Tazria? It doesn't belong here. Like I told you, you want to talk, tell me all the halachas. So teach me pinyin haben. Teach me, oh, you have a boy. A boy, vishinantam livonecha v'dibaratabam. What's going on here? Torah is teaching you, do you know why a boy has a bris milah on the 8th day? Why the 8th day? Why not the first day of birth? Why not a month later? So the truth, this is a topic of discussion. I mean, there are libraries libraries that will tell you different reasons of why the 8th day. The simple reason is because you have to pass through
one shot.
Or we want the mother, the tumas lady should pass. Even though b'zman hazeh it's anogea, but b'zman hazeh the tumah should pass. The mother should be happy. The home father, there should be no tumah. There should be no separation between husband and wife. Or there's Kabbalistic reason that the blood, that there's a certain purity of the blood of the dam nida, which is still in the blood of the child that has to pass, takes 8 days. All right,
the
there are many. What does the Maharal say?
The Maharal says that 7.
Yeah. Teva.
Teva.
8 is lemala derecha. Teva brismila. You're breaking out the koyach to break out of teva lemala derecha. Teva. Many, many answers. But I want to give you another answer. The other end, that's exactly what the Pasuk of here is telling us. Isha ki sazria. Do you know why? Do you know why a child, the bris mila is on the 8th day, and not on day 10, not on day 3, not on day 30? It's because a male child, who gets the credit for the male child? The mother. What do we know about women? We know about women, nothing. Nothing at all. Men are from Mars, women, what has to go with the expression? We have nothing. But
women are from Venus.
Venus. We know nothing. But women, Vayiven, the Torah tells us one thing we at least we do know. Vayiven esatzela. When the Torah describes her creation, the Torah describes man's creation. Vayipach ba'ap of nishma, offer min ho'adama, man came from offer min ho'adama. Vayipach ba'ap of nishma schayim, a woman, a totally different parasha, different world. A woman came from a different planet. Vayiven es hatzela. Hashem built, he constructed the rib. The tzela means the rib, or the side, the rib, different interpretations. The word vayiven is the word used to describe the formation, the creation of a woman. Chazal, step in, and what is this unusual word, vayiven? It comes from the word bina, understanding. And Chazal goes, therefore, since this is the word Hashem used to create woman, the one and only word, memela we learn a yesod, noshin have bina yeser. Noshin have more bina. What is bina? We'll get to that in a moment. But noshin have bina, relative to a man, men have das, but women have bina. Chaneidim ircha dea bina v'haskel. Who is the one that has, what does that mean? So let's go to Chanukah. Okay, and this is one example. What is Chanukah? Yivonim nikbitzu alai, azai v'mech hashmanim, ufar tzuchomos milai, v'tim ukol hashmanim, umi noisar kankanim, nasa neslash shoshanim, b'nei vina, yimei shmona. We see something very interesting. Okay, there's a lot more to it, but just to borrow from something that Shugar Befiv call, B'nei Vina, people who are B'nei Bina, simply means that Chazal, Talmidei Chum who are B'nei Bina, they have established Yimei Shemona, that we should commemorate the Nes of Chanukah 8 days. But there's a lot more depth to that.
I heard a very good chat about women. Why can't a woman be an aid?
Yeah.
Because a woman, even before she hears the facts,
she already decided.
She has an instinct to know what
she's outsmarted herself.
She's prejudiced, so she can't be.
Okay, B'nai Bina Yimei Shmona. So, besides the simple understanding of B'nai Bina Yimei Shmona, but we do see that there is a connection between Bina. Okay, Yehudis, some say it's because this idea of B'nai Bina Yimei Shmona, because the Nes occurred to a woman, but. There is a connection between Bina and Shmona, and you see from this expression, the most. What is the connection? So if you have to open up all the Sun of Chanukah and go through, but I'll just tell you one interpretation, one of many interpretations to show the correlation between the number 8 and the number and Bina. Just one of many interpretations. Most of us are familiar, we've been trained to understand that the number 8, what is the mile of 8? It's l'mala m'derech ha-teva. Right? There's 7, the world was created in 7 days. So when you go to 8, you've already left this world. You're beyond. You're beyond. 7, l'mala m'derech ha-teva. Ein achanami, 100. But it's a very, very simple, much simpler interpretation of the number 8. And the Sefer Torah, how do you write a letter 8? How do you write the letter Ches?
Two Zions.
Very strange. And a bridge. What is 8? 8 is when you return, when you return to your source. The cycle repeats itself. Number 8 is Sunday. There are 7 days. And Hashem said, that's it, creation is over. Now let's repeat the process. Repetition. Let us start, renew, refresh. It's renewal. Renewal. Now a woman, now you talk about renewal, women renew themselves every 30 days, the process, they go through a biological process of renewal. Eight is the renewal of teva. There's nature, and it renews itself. What does bina mean? Chazal tell us, mevin davar mitoch davar. When you do something once, and then you do it a second time, it's different. You have experience. You know not to make the same mistakes. Or you know exactly how to make the second mistakes, the mistakes even better next time. Have experience. Why are women shaykh to the number eight? Because women have bina yisir, they have insight. Insight comes from learning from mevin davar mitoch davar. I know how to conduct myself this time around because I have the experience of going through it the first time around. Men, unfortunately, are blind. They can do something 100 times. They don't learn from their mistakes. They don't have this ability to maven davar, to understand how to deal with something, mitoch davar, from learning from their previous mistakes. There's a handicap that a man has. We're not as good as... Women have this ability of learning from experience. Bina. And that concept is brought out in the number 8. Because the number 8 means we're going to do it again. And when we do it again, Hashem created the world in 7 days, and now we're going to do it again. We're going to have another Sunday. And when we go through this Sunday, it's going to be different because we already know, have experience, and we know how to conduct ourselves this week. Mevin davar mitoch davar. B'nei vina yimei shmona. There's a correlation between the number 8 and the concept of bina. Okay, this is just one of many examples. That's not the, but it's one. This is so. Now we have to understand. That's why we have here the bris milah. Why is it that a child has the bris milah on day 8? The Torah here is telling us. You know why it's 8? It's a credit. It is a credit to the mother. Isha ki sazria the yolda zocher. It's only because the Isha was Mazras Tchila. She initiated the process of conception, and that is why there's a Zohar. And that is why the Tumah is limited. It's only 7 days of Tumah. Because it came from a woman. And not to put down a woman, Chas v'Shalom, but a woman does not have the same potential. Okay, I'm getting to a lot of trouble saying this, but does not have that same potential for kedusha as a man. They're not mitzvah ve'oise, misaseh shazman gama. The chi of Torah for a woman is not exactly the same as it is for a man. The mela, the tumah that will result in the birth of a zohar will be less relative to the birth of an akeva, which came from a female. But the Torah says, but listen, being that it's her credit, and the woman's essence is vayiven. And vayiven is bina yisera, and bina is associated. It's part and parcel. It's inseparable from the concept of eight. Bnei vina yimei shmona. Right? Chazal say we all know that. Bnei vina yimei shmona. Mimela, when this child receives its first mitzvah, we're going to give credit to the mother. It's going to be by yom hashmini. It's going to be on the 8th day. That is why it's here. It's teaching us Yom Shmini. Bris Milah is a Bris Hashem. Avram didn't have a Bris on the 8th day. Yisrael didn't have a Bris on the 8th day. Bris Hashem, Karas Bris, V'choloi Simoha Bris. That's Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the Bris is also related to the Bris Milah. Bris Milah. There's a Bris. 13 times in Torah do we have Bris Milah. But why the 8th day? Ishaki Sazria. That's why it's here. And what's the proof to this? Who's the first one to have a bris milah on the 8th day? First person, Yitzchak. And how this the laying on the Rosh Hashanah? How do we? What are we laying on Rosh Hashanah? The Hashem pokad es sora kasher amor. Let me find the pasuk. Give me a half a minute to find the pasuk. The Hashem pokad es sora kasher amor sora, like Hashem said. Vayas Hashem for who? L'sora. Not for Aaron. L'sora. Aaron already had children. Aaron said, Lu yishmol yichya lefonecha. He never even knew this would happen. This was Sora. Kashem, about Tahar, Vayatelet, Sora. Third time. Sora. She gave birth to Avraham. It's all her credit. For Avraham, a child Yitzchak. The fourth time Asher Sarah Yitzchak, on the eighth day. Why is the Torah here telling us? Let's say the Torah wouldn't say the eighth day. Let's say would we automatically know that they would have the bris mila on the eighth day? Yeah, Torah says Torah. The whole parish Torah is not telling us stories. Why does the Torah tell us? We know there's a parasha. Hashem told Avraham, "Salich lefanai kol ben every child that's born on the eighth day." So he had a child. The male, of course, the child was born on the eighth day. Does it say that Yitzchak? Does it say that Yaakov had a bris mila on the eighth day? Doesn't say. Does it say that any one of the 12 shvatim had a bris mila on the eighth day? Doesn't say. Did they have it? Certainly they had it on the eighth day. Does it have to tell us that on the eighth day? Doesn't have to tell us. This is pashut. Of course. Pashut. So why does it tell us this? Because here we're describing Sarah. Vahashem pakad es Sarah kasher amar. Isha ki sazria. What is it saying over here? It's saying not in the physical sense that she initiated the process of having a child, but it means she was mevakesh, Makadosh Baruch Hu, in this degree more than Avraham. I mean, they have to understand what that means exactly. Avraham had Yisrael. It was primarily for her. Hashem pakan es sarkash isha ki sazria v'yolda zohar v'tama shivas yamim. And then what happens? Uvayoyim hashmini. She gets the credit. The bris on the eighth day goes to her, goes to Sarah. That's why it's by Sarah, and that's why it's here in Parshas Tazria. So you have to remember the points, all different points. You have to understand this Tum and Tyra. Let's review this Yisod. This Tum and Tyra. Tuma always parallels potential for Kedusha. Kasha. Zohar in the cave, who should get more Tuma? The Zohar should get. It's Fakert. What's going on? Why is there bris mila? So the Yisod is. It goes basso the one that's mazras tchila. Mazras tchila is not a biology statement; it's a statement in halacha. The shoresh comes from the ish. The meila, the tuma is less. The shoresh is more. The shoresh comes from the isha. The meila, the kedusha is going to be less. But being that isha ki sazria, it comes from the koyach of the isha. And Noshim by Yivenes Atzela Bina Yisera, and Bina is associated in Chazal with the number 8 for many reasons. I just gave you one. Memela, the brismil, the first bris, is given credit to the woman. It's on the 8th day, just like we find by Sarah. Okay, let me tell you another part. This we have here. Okay, we have here in this week's parasha. Let me start with this Hagdama. Okay, it's not. I'll try to keep. We have them from a Gra. There's a Gra that says when a person comes to Shabbat, he has to give din v'cheshven. It says in that give din v'cheshven in this world. What's din v'cheshven? Give din or give cheshven? What's the chilik between din and cheshven? So he says very simple. Din means you're going to give din for all the sins you've done. Person does an avera, punishment, terrible thing. You've committed a sin. Then this cheshven. What's cheshven? During the time that you sinned, you could have been doing mitzvos. Instead of doing the sin, look what you have lost out. The mitzvos that could have been done, instead of wasting your time with this narishkeit, you could have been doing something good. That's called the cheshbon. We have here a mitzvah. Okay, we're going to Parashas Mitzvah. Mitzvah has committed a sin. Chazal tell us the sin for tzaraas, the cause of tzaraas. There are many causes, but the primary cause for tzaraas is Lashon Hara. That's the primary, one of many sins. Lashon Hara. Okay, he goes through a long process of Tahara. Finally, he gets to the end of the process of Tahara. He brings two birds. He brings two birds, and he brings Eitz Erez, the Eizah of Shni Tolas. Two birds, Eitz Erez, Shni Tolas. One bird is slaughtered. Dead. The blood accumulates in the Klicheres, Al Naim Chai. Then what do? You take the other bird, the living bird, you dip the living bird in the blood of the dead bird, and you wrap it up with an Eitz Erez and Shni Tolas, go through the whole process, and you send away the living bird, Al Pnei Hasadeh. You let it go. What What's going on here? Why two birds? So the Farshim, I saw primarily in the Sefer called, I think it's Areshes Sefoseinu Barav Schlesinger. A very big rabbi in Israel. He has a lot of Sfarim Jewish. So he says, I don't know if it's his own, he brings from others, it's part of it as his own. He says, why there are two birds? Because same thing. It's the same idea that we just mentioned. It's the same idea we just mentioned, and that is, Chazal tells us why a bird. A bird is mitzafzef. It chirps. It makes sounds. Bring a bird that chirps to be mechaper on you, your sin for chirping. When a person speaks lashon hara, what is he doing? He's acting like a bird. He's chirping, speaking nonsense, making trouble with his mouth. Tzivsuf apeh. Bring a bird that is mitzafzef to be mechaper on a human being that was also mitzafzef, did a mice like a bird. Okay, very good. That's why you, why two birds? So the answer is, the dead bird, one bird that is slaughtered, represents the sin of lashon hara. You have sinned with your mouth. We have to silence your mouth. We can't do it to you, we can't do it to the person, that's too extreme, but we're going to take a representative, a replacement for you, for the person, a bird, it's also mitzaf safe, and we're going to kill it, we're going to slaughter it, we're going to silence the chirping, to be mechaper for you, in order to remind you, you must silence your tzifsuf hapeh. Why do you take the bird, the living bird, and send it away? That's the cheshbon, because not only do you need kapara for your lashon hara, the time and the effort that you have devoted to using your koyach hadibur for sin, you could have used for good. You could have used to be mechazek people, to give comfort to people, to speak in divrei Torah. So the living bird that's allowed to continue and to fly and to make noise, chirping sounds, is the cheshbon. The dead bird is the din. The living bird that continues to be mitzafzef is the cheshbon. Is the bird. Now this idea is a beautiful idea. I heard this from before.
What's the
eighth area? You also have to dip it in the eighth area. You have to the blood. You have to the, and that's what I'm coming to now. This var I heard before. This var is a popular var. There are two birds. And there's something called din de cheshbon. The dead bird represents the din, the sin of speaking, you're silenced. The living bird that's sent to fly and to continue to chirp represents, you have to now be misaki in the koyach hadibur, and you have to speak, you have to learn how to use the koyach hadibur, not for evil, but for good. Now, then he goes further. This is the beautiful thing. It says in the pasuk that a person who's a mitzvah has to go to Aroin. For huva el Aroin, he must be brought to Aroin HaKoyin, or one of his children. Why Aroin? Why is the Torah so machmir say Kohanim? Why Dafka Aaron? Aaron is the person who perfected the Koyach HaDibur. Mm-hmm. On one hand, Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mesiachet, we have Doimim, Tzameach, Achayim, Medaber. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Miyachet the Dibur right after the death of Mises Aaron, Vayidim Aaron. Hashem spoke to Aaron. Aaron was Sifsei Kohen. MS, okay, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, a Kohen speaks, and the Kohen, what is the role of a Kohen? Moshe was Kevat Peh. Moshe wasn't a public speaker. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the Rebbe Yishol Klal Yisrael, but Chazal tell us, he was Kevat Peh. Was he healed, was he not healed? But when Moshe complained to Kodesh Baruch Hu, who's going to be the speaker? Aaron will be the Medaber. Aaron was the representative. That's the Metzias. That's what it says in the Torah over and over. Aaron, Akon, Aaron went to Paro. Aaron was the one who spoke on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Aaron as well. We have different many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly spoke to Aaron. Aaron spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Aaron represented Klal Yisrael. He was their spokesman, the Koyach HaDibur. But when Aaron suffered the terrible tragedy of his loss of his two sons, what does it say? Vayidoy Aaron. Chazal tell us, Yidur Aaron, he went from the highest madrega of a medaber all the way down to the lowest form of life, doimim. This doimim, soimeach, chai, medaber. Aaron was the spitz of medaber, but he knew how to bring himself down to the doimim, the yidoim, like a rock, and the medaber to the doimim. Memela, a person who has nichshol and lashon hara, he needs to give din v'cheshbon. din for the tzipsuf, cheshbon, you have to know what to say. It's not just enough to keep your mouth shut. You have to know what to say. Memela, you go to Aaron, because Aaron conquered the entire spectrum. He was the medaber for Klal Yisrael, who he has a pasuk in Parashat Shemos. He will be your mouthpiece. He'll speak. He'll be your speaker. But he's also the one who knows when not to speak. He's the one that knows when it comes to deal with the koyach of din v'cheshbon, when to be quiet and when to speak. He's the one that can give you a program of tshuva for your tzaras. Next thing. He goes first.
It's strange that we say din v'cheshbon. Shouldn't it be cheshbon first and then you get to din?
Well,
you keep the accounting, you tell your story, and then you get your justice.
Okay, it's a kasha. I don't know. It's a good kasha. I don't know. One last point in this idea, we bring the eighth eres ushni talas. Why do you bring, so Rashi says, why the eighth eres ushni talas? Person speaks lashon hara, you have to be full of gaiva. Bal gaiva. Eres, cedar, represents the tall, mighty trees. Azov, the hyssop, is a weed. It's nothing, grass. It's the lowest of vegetation. So Rashi says, a person who has become a bal gaiva, like the eighth eres, has to lower himself to the level of the hyssop, of the azov. So the sar sholoim shobels, he was mamish from the biggest ashan that ever was, he says, that's the case. Just bring the azov. What do you have to bring the eres? You have to humble yourself like the azov. So who needs that? You want to remind yourself of the sin? So he answers the same yisok. All three go together. Is no, that's not the point. Just to go into a closet and keep your mouth shut and to be humble, and to be meek, and make yourself as if you don't exist is not a good. That's not an approach to life. There are times in life where you have to be nislavish in a gaiva of kedusha. You have to take a stand. If you see things that are not correct, you see an avla, you have to speak up. It's not an eitz just to be an ezoif. There are times where you have to be like the eres for l'shem shemayim in order for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch. So that's why you bring the ezoif and the eitz eres. It fits perfectly in the entire thing. There is din v'cheshbon. There is a bird that's silenced, and there's a bird that chirps. You have to know how to speak. There is Aaron. He knows when to speak, when not to speak. Lashon Hara comes from gaiva. It's not a solution just to bring the A's off. It has to be balanced. You bring the A's off. You have to be humble, and don't speak Lashon Hara. But there are times you have to speak up. If you see something is wrong, you see someone being hurt. I remember someone told me, there are very few people that are too nizer in Lashon Hara. Kavayach, such a thing. Too nizer in Lashon Hara in our times. Nizer. They're too meticulous. Someone once warned me, don't be too meticulous in the laws of Lashon Hara. You have to study Chafetz Chaim, and today they're hacking Chafetz Chaim, Lashon Hara. I have to tell you something important. Someone is being murdered across the street in that house. I don't want to hear it's Lashon Hara. It's Lashon Hara. How can you move it? You think it doesn't happen? It happens. Happens. People, there are people that are in the business world. They're losing their job. And people know about it. And it doesn't take much to help them, to save them. I don't want to hear. I just don't know Chafetz Chaim. I don't want to hear Lashon Hara. There's fighting going on. There's a fight. It's not against me. I don't want to. I'm going to sit back and be silent and let the powers, the people who are in charge, who have been elected officials, who run the show, they know what they're doing. And even though I pay my dues and my membership, I'm going to sit back. It's Lashon Hara to hear that someone will do such a thing like this. I don't want to get involved. That's wrong. That's wrong. If something is wrong, you have an obligation to be nislavish with a gaiva of kedusha and to speak up. That's why we have here three different examples, three different parallels in Saras. It's the koyach hadibur. See, we are unfortunately misled. We think the whole sin of Saras is lashon hara. No, it's not really what it means. It means that there's a problem with the koyach hadibur. There's a time to speak, there's a time not to speak. There's a time to act with gaiva, a time not to act with gaiva. There's the Aaron who Hamadaber. He's the one that speaks. There has to be a balance. If you're off balance, either way, it's no good. One last short vart. We have over here this Eitz Erez. We have here the Tzaras, the process of Tzaras to take the dead bird, the living bird, dip it in the dead bird, and send it away. But let me ask you a question. Let's say you were the living bird. Okay, you have a community of birds. We live in a beautiful community. War birds, they're white birds, they're black birds. It's diversity. We have a lot of shuls for all the birds. Everyone has a place. Everyone has a life. And then, all of a sudden, one day, the kohen comes in and chaps two birds. He chaps two of the citizens of society, the distinguished citizens. And he takes one bird in front of your eyes, and he slaughters the bird. Slaughters it. Dead. Murder. Decapitation. The living bird, I think, is obviously traumatized. No? I would be traumatized if I saw someone from my community. Oh, what happened here? Living a peaceful existence? And what am I... What? It happens, no. The Kohen takes two birds, and one bird he slaughters. Yeah, L'Chaira.
What do they ask each other? What happened to Satan?
L'Chaira. L'Chaira. It's right in front of this other bird. And then let's make things worse. Then the Kohen...
They're probably thankful they're alive.
He picks up the second bird, the living bird, the survivor... And when he puts his neck around, you know what's coming next. You can imagine the pachat. But instead of being slaughtered, he takes me, the living bird, the survivor, he dips me. He dips me in the blood of my friend. Can you imagine the trauma? Can you imagine? Think about it. These are birds. These are very delicate creatures. It's traumatizing. It's traumatizing. You're torturing the poor bird. Your mom is torturing the bird. And what do? You can go. Send them off al Panei HaSadeh. There's another mitzvah. There's another time in the Torah where you send away a bird. Shluch HaKein. What do you do about Shluch HaKein? Shaleach Teshlach HaSayim V'yesah Baratim. Chazal, why do you send away the mother bird and don't take the eggs to trick the children in front of the presents? Have Rachmanis. Rachanim. Learn a midah of Rachanim. Be compassionate. What's going on? And if you'll be compassionate, l'man yitav loch v'horachta yamin. What's going on? A contradiction. On the one hand, the Torah wants the parashas ki seitzei shluach hakam. The Torah wants rachamim. Shaleach tishlach esem v'yitzman t'ilman yitach. Over here, the Torah is mamish torturing the bird. The answer is that's what the Torah is trying to teach us. Torah, it's a drush. This is a drush. When the Torah tells you to do this process, to dip the bird, the living bird, in the blood of the dead bird, and to send it away, it wants to trigger in your mind, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm torturing this bird. The Torah really wants the opposite. The Torah wants the opposite of, I shall have rachmanis on the bird. L'man yitav loch v'horach l'yarem. How did I get myself in this situation? It's because I've spoke lashon hara. I've caused someone enormous tsar. I've done the opposite of yitav loch v'horach l'yarem. When you speak lashon hara and you cause conflict between people, is that yitav loch v'horach l'yarem to cause someone agmas nefesh, to cause someone tsar? There couldn't be anything more opposite than yitav loch v'horach l'yarem than speaking lashon hara. That's what the Torah is telling you. You spoke lashon hara. You're putting yourself into a situation where you're going to lose the yitav loch v'horach l'yarem. It's a technique. It's a drush. This is not pashut pshat, of course, but it's when you take the two times in the Torah where you are required to send away the bird, and you look at the difference, the contrast. Where one there is compassion, and there is enormous bracha, and here there is enormous achzorius. And obviously with that comes the opposite. You say to yourself, how did I get here? What did I do? It's because I am a cause of taking away someone else's yitav loch and someone else harach arichas yom. I've caused someone tsar. I spoke lashon hara. So knew what do I expect? That's the lesson that we're learning here by comparing these two together.
I was going to ask you one more. Is it Torah? I'm not sure how to explain it. Compounding or add what they call. you know, adding on. You got this poor guy, he's gone through the tzaraz. You got the poor guy, according to what Drush gave us, he's got to go to a harem. Now you're giving him a third pound on. Oh, by the way, you got to deal with these two birds in the mind. It's like, is it because Hashem is such an evil thing?
Yes,
it
is.
Torah is giving you three pound ons, giving it tzaraz. You're isolated never from your family. You're out there all by yourself.
Yeah.
You can't do this. People, he's got to go around and say, you know, with the and say,
obviously,
tzaraz,
yes.
Get out of my way.
Obviously,
you come
yes.
Back, you make it through the car.